Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Genesis, chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 9 through 12 together responsively. Genesis, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. We'll read this portion responsively, and we'll turn to several other verses in this chapter and others. Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good." I'll read verse 21 for you. "And God created great whales in every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Now turn to chapter 1. Stay in chapter 1. Turn to verses 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25. Let's read both of these in unison together. Ready? "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Now turn to chapter 6, verse 20. Genesis chapter 6, verse 20. I'll read that to you aloud. "Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive." Now turn to Genesis chapter 7, verse 14. We'll read this verse together. Genesis chapter 7, verse 14. You ready? "They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you that your presence is here. And Father, thank you that you brought a preacher back to us safely. And Father, please, today we are a needy people. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of folks stand here this morning in need. Father, please fill our preacher with your power to give us what we need so we could go out and help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I want to talk to you about something that all of us need to face and has something to do with our influence. I don't think sometimes we understand the influence that every one of us have. We have a lot of influence. I want to talk to you about that very thing today. Here in the book of Genesis, you see over and over again, you'll need not turn to it, but I want to point out, if I could, a phrase. The Bible says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind." After his kind. Over and over again in the verses that we read earlier today, we see those words, after his kind, after its kind, after their kind. In verse 12 it says, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind." In verse number 24, it says, "And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind." In verse 25, it says, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. We read then from Genesis chapter number 6. The Bible again, in verse number 20, it uses those same words again. It says, of fowls, after their kind, and of cattle, after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth, after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And then in verse or chapter 7, again, it uses the very same terms in verse number 14. It says, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. Over and over and over again in the creation story, you see these words, after their kind, after his kind, after its kind. Now, man was created. He did not evolve. And so some of you young people, as you go back to school, if you go to a school where they teach you that man evolved from a monkey, they're full of prunes. That is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches very clearly that God formed man of the dust of the earth. That's why men get dirty. That's where we came from. We don't mind getting dirty, and we like our hands dirty, and we don't mind having a little dirt on our shoes when we walk into the house. That's why God created woman, to clean up after messy man, and she spends her life doing so. Man was he was created. He did not evolve. And then man, he too was to reproduce after his kind. God uses this phrase, after his kind, after his kind, after its kind. In Genesis 1:11, it talks about grass, and then grass reproduces after its kind. And for a couple of you, that's not talking about marijuana there. That's talking about the kind that ladies mow out here in the front yard. Then it talks about the herbs, or the they reproduce after their kind. And then the fruit trees reproduce after their kind. You get a peach and you take the seed of that peach and you put it in the ground, it's going to reproduce a peach. You take a kernel of corn, you put it in the ground, it will reproduce after its corn, after its kind, the corn will come up. You plant an apple seed, and then that apple is going to reproduce after its kind, and you put that apple seed in the ground, and an apple tree will eventually grow. In verse 21, it talked about the whales. Whales produce whales. They produce after their kind. It talks about all the water creatures. They reproduce after their kind. It talks about the winged fowls and the birds, how they reproduce after their kind. Two owls, when they reproduce, they end up hatching baby owls. And owls do not reproduce eagles, and eagles do not reproduce chickens. They reproduce after their kind. That's what the Bible teaches. In verse 24, it talks about all living creatures. Then they reproduce after their kind. Cattle reproduce after their kind. Two cows, when cattle reproduce, they don't bring forth pigs. And when pigs reproduce, they don't bring forth dogs. Now, I have seen some very strange dogs in my lifetime, but dogs reproduce and they have dogs. And cats reproduce. They have cats after their kind. And the Bible says every creeping thing, when it reproduces after its kind. The beasts of the earth, after their kind. Every living thing is reproduced, and it reproduces itself. God created man. God created woman in Genesis 1:27. And then the Bible says, one verse later, it says, and God blessed them, men and woman, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now, do you know that a man and a woman, when they reproduce, it's after their kind? A man and woman that have joined together, they do not reproduce, and you don't get kittens out of it, you don't get ducklings out of it, you don't get piglets. Well, I don't know, I've seen some pretty piggy kids, but you don't get piglets out of it, you're not going to get an eagle, you're not going to get a chicken, that doesn't happen. We reproduce after our kind. That's how God planned it. Now, While my wife, my family, and I were on vacation, I was reminded of this concept. You're going to think I'm crazy, but I have to tell you where. I was at an ice cream shop. There was an ice cream place. It was called the Cold Stone Creamery. Have any of you ever had ice cream at the Cold Stone Creamery where you raise your hand? Now, these people with their hands up are happy people. Because if you've ever eaten ice cream at this place, it's a new ice cream place that's coming on the scene. And believe me, it's not 29 cents a dip. I bought my family ice cream and the bill was $29. I could have bought the whole factory for that amount. And then the ice cream, the size of their cones, you know, the average place, you know, you have one dip and then you can get two dips or three dips. That's not how they have it labeled here. If you get one dip, they call it like it. You like it. If you get two dips, you order a love it. Because it's better than like it. I mean, you know, if you got one dip, you like it. But if you got two dips, you obviously love it. If you get three dips, you order a gotta have it. Gotta have it. So three dips, you gotta have it. Two dips, you love it. One dip, you like it. But I promise you, after you like it, you're gonna love it. And eventually, you gotta have it. Because this place, it was a neat place. They had all sorts of different kinds of ice cream for you coffee lovers. They had an ice cream called Mud Pie Mojo. Then they had Cheesecake Fantasy. They had one called Monkey Bites. It had bananas in it. Had one ice cream called At the Cocoa Banana Cabana. They had one called Our Strawberry Blonde. They had one called Birthday Cake Remix. That's where they actually take this ice cream and then they take birthday cake and icing and they mix it all together. I didn't have any of it, but I seen a lady that looked like she had her fair share. They had an ice cream called Candyland. Another kind was Nights in White Chocolate. They had another called Paradise Sound. They had an ice cream that was called Health Nut. They had one called Apple Pie a la Cold Stone. That's the name of the store. Then they had one called Berry, Berry, Berry Good. Now, that's what I had. I had Berry, Berry, Berry Good. And it was vanilla ice cream with three different kinds of berries, and they mixed it all up together. That's because I'm a health food nut. Then they had Caramel Turtle Temptation. You like this. They had Oreo Overload. Then they had an ice cream that had cookies and mint in it. They called it Cookie Minster. And then they had Chocolate Devotion. They had Breathless Boston Cream. And then finally, another called Peanut Butter Cup Perfection. Now, I was in this store. There was a great big long line of people ordering ice cream. I stood in this long line and I heard there were many servers. There were four people serving ice cream at one time. But I watched them ask this question over and over again. What kind do you want? What kind do you want? What kind do you want? And I kept, while I was there, I was watching this, I was looking at all these crazy ice cream flavors, and as I stood there, I kept thinking about the Bible said that we reproduce after our kind. They said, what kind do you want? What kind do you want? What kind do you want? And then I kept thinking, after our kind, after our kind, after our kind. I ask myself this question. Now, I don't know what you think about while you're in an ice cream shop, but you're about to figure out what I think about. I ask myself this question. If people were ice cream, what kind would you be? If people were ice cream, what kind would you be? I thought we could have Nutty Nash. I thought, okay, Bajent's bow hunting banana. You know, Brother Bajent's a great outdoorsman, he thinks. I was thinking, where's Mrs. Kane at? I seen her just a moment ago. Mrs. Kane, right back here. I thought of Mrs. Kane's kind custard. Isn't that real smooth and flowing? Rich Hart, one of the... Now, if you don't know Rich Hart, he's a wee little man. His middle name is Zacchaeus. I came up with an ice cream for Brother Rich Hart. It's called A Little Dabble Do Ya. Then you've heard of this chain of ice cream called Ben and Jerry's. I guess Ben and Jerry unseparable. I thought if you know Brother Tennis, he and his wife, they never do anything apart. We're going to get a new chain of ice cream called Tom and Barb's instead of Ben and Jerry's. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. Let's take some names out of this. I wonder if they named ice cream after us because of the way we are. I wonder if they could name yours a handful of dirt. What do you like? Maybe sour, sad sardine flavor. Or gossip grapefruit. That'd be nasty. Negative nasty nutcase. Yeah, every church has one or two of those. Or all blow and no go. Maybe if you had a little better attitude, we could call it sweet spirit serenade. Or faithful few fantasy. Or dependable and delightful. How would you like to have a double dip of dependable and delightful? Is that the way you are, dependable and delightful? Or faithful? Or loyal, lovable luxury? We could have, give me three dips of that loyal, lovable luxury ice cream. Separated, solid, and spiritual. What would they name that ice cream? What kind of Christian are you? What kind? I just kept coming back to that word kind. What kind of Christian are you? What kind of person are you? I just kept listening to the lady behind the counter say, what kind do you want? What kind do you want? What kind do you want? And my mind kept going back to the opening chapters of the book of Genesis where God kept saying they're going to reproduce after their kind and after their kind and after their kind. Everything was said to reproduce after its kind. Let me tell you something today. I hope everybody here will stop and face something. You are reproducing after your kind. Now, I'm not talking about you moms and dads are having children, therefore reproducing after the human race, humankind. I'm talking about whatever kind of a person you are reproducing somebody that's that kind of person. Everybody is influencing everybody else. Yes, sir. Everybody here, you are influencing somebody to become your kind of person. You're influencing somebody to become your kind of Christian. Somebody's becoming like you. You say, but Brother Owen, I'm not asking for that. It doesn't matter. Everybody is reproducing after their kind. Everybody is influencing somebody. You say, but Brother Owen, I don't stand and teach a Sunday school class. That does not matter. We are surrounded by people, and somebody is watching you, and somebody is becoming like you. Somebody thinks what you do is the okay way to do it. Somebody thinks the way you live is the way they want to live. Somebody is being influenced by you. What kind of Christian are you? Because somebody is becoming like you. I entitled the sermon, What Kind Are You? What kind are you? What kind of a person are you? And I promise you, everybody under the sound of my voice is reproducing after your kind. But what kind are you? Do you realize the power of your influence? You say, but I don't want any influence. I'm sorry, you already have it. Because you're alive. As long as you're alive, somebody is watching you. Some of you teenagers, there's some children in our grade school. They're looking up to you. What kind are you? Some of you even some of you children that are in grade school, somebody's watching you. Somebody, you say, well, I'm only in third grade. Well, there's some second grader watching you. What kind are you? What are you? What are you? How are you influencing people? What are people becoming because they're around you? Hey, you say I'm a brand new church member. Well, let me tell you something. You have influence. Everybody here has influence. The question is, what kind are you? Hey, church member, do you realize that you reproduce after your kind? Somebody in this church is becoming what you are because they're using you as a pattern, because we reproduce after our kind. Are you faithful? Then you'll reproduce someone that's after your kind. They'll be faithful. You take somebody that hangs around, a church member that comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I'll promise you, the people around them, they will reproduce faithfulness in the people around them. Are you unfaithful? If somebody's watching you and they're unfaithful because you're reproducing after your kind, are you a quitter? Somebody's going to be affected by your quitting. You quit on God. Somebody is going to reproduce or be reproduced after your kind. Are you hateful? Boy, you said, how I feel about things is my business. The only problem is you're influencing somebody. If you could be hateful and influence nobody and you want to be hateful and miserable in your own, okay. Then make it right, but okay. But the only problem is you cannot separate yourself from the church society, if you will. Therefore, somebody is going to be reproduced after your kind. You practice vengeance, you're going to reproduce after your kind. Somebody else is going to practice vengeance. Are you loving? If you're loving, then you could reproduce after your kind. Are you forgiving? Well, then you could reproduce after your kind. Hey, are you growing in the Lord? Do you come to church and actually grow and you're actually changing your life and you're increasing your walk with God? You're becoming more spiritual. You're learning more about the Bible. You're living more of the Bible this year than you lived last year. Then, hey, somebody around you is going to be growing. Somebody's going to grow around you. We have a man in this church. It's probably been 18 months, 2 years ago. He came to this church. And I watched him begin to grow and grow and grow and grow. And I'm so excited for this man. He is still growing to this very day. And always sitting around him are a group of people that he's influencing. And there are a bunch of new converts. And you know something? They're growing too. They're growing too. Who's sitting? Hey, are the people sitting around you, are you reproducing after your kind? Are they growing? Are they just come to church, plunk it down, leave, never change, no movement, no motion, no increase? After your kind, church member. Hey, there's somebody that's holding on to some sin in their life. And all they need is for you to work on the sin in your life because you're reproducing after your kind. Who is it you're influencing and they're holding back? Because you're holding back. So, Brother Owens, I think everybody ought to keep their eyes on Jesus. So do I. But they don't. So do I. But they don't. And they're watching you. And the Lord said, we're to be examples unto the believers. Hey, church member, you're reproducing after your kind. I have a whole sermon I'm preparing. It's called, Wonder If a Whole Church Was Exactly Like You. We don't even have to have Wednesday night services, will we? There'll be nobody here. Because if the whole church were like some of you, we'd never see you but once a month. Wouldn't that be tragic? Wonder if the whole church was it? Hey, wonder if the whole church gave exactly like you do. Couldn't we function off $1 a month? Today, trying to get my money? No, I'm trying to make you realize you have influence.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says mankind is set up and we reproduce after our kind. And it's not just talking about a man and a lady coming together physically and producing a child. It's talking about your attitude affects somebody else's attitude. And your heart, the way it's tender or hard, it's affecting somebody else's heart. And you can't get out from underneath the influence. Hey, church member. You're reproducing after your kind. Hey, daddy. You're reproducing after your kind. You're not just raising a son. Every father in this house, you listen to me now. You're not just raising a child. You're raising a dad. Your boy is going to learn to be a dad by watching you because you're going to reproduce after your kind. You're not just rearing a son. You're rearing a husband. So think about it. God put that boy in your home to learn to be a husband. To learn to be a daddy. After your kind. You say, well, I wouldn't want my son to act the way I act. Then change the way you act. I wouldn't want him to be the kind of dad that I am. Then change the dad you are. Because you're reproducing after your kind. After your kind. After your kind. Hey, that boy that lives in your home, sir, he needs to learn to be tough, yet tender. He needs to learn both. Is he? We reproduce after our kind. Church member, you're reproducing after your kind. Dad, you're reproducing after your kind. Hey, mom, you're reproducing after your kind. You're not just raising a daughter. You understand? They're children for a little while. Have you noticed they're growing? Hey, try this year, if your child is a seventh grader this year, try to dress them in their sixth grade clothes. Something's happening, have you noticed? They're growing. They're heading toward their destination. Their destination is not to be a child. The final destination is to be a mom. Mama, you are reproducing after your kind. You're not just growing a little girl. You're training a mama. You're not just growing a little girl. You're training a wife. Stop and realize the seriousness of your influence. Mama, you need to teach her submission, but you must teach her enough aggression that she survives and that the family goes forward. There's a balance there that's necessary. Hey, I guess all of us are reproducing after our time. Every church member is influencing somebody to become like you, whether you're trying to or not. It happens. Every dad, you're influencing after your kind. This business of, oh, well, don't do as I do. Do as I say. Do you think we all really listen to that? Don't do as I do. Do as I say. No. Human race is going to do as you do. Do as you do. Jesus did not say, well, don't do as I do, do as I say. Jesus said, do as I do. Do as I do. He was our role model. Hey, Sunday school teacher. Boy, I thank God that we have Sunday school teachers that take their influence seriously. Oh boy, to be a Sunday school teacher is a very influential opportunity. Stop and realize something. Do you know every one of you Sunday school teachers? You're training Sunday school teachers.
Yeah.
I'm just teaching a bunch of snotty-nosed first graders. No, you're not. Yes, they do have snotty noses. But so did you. Ah, we're not just teaching the lesson. We're teaching them how to teach.
Yes, sir.
They're watching everything you do. Hey, are you teaching them how to teach Sunday school? And I don't mean you stand up and give them the way that you form an outline. I'm talking about by your example. Are you prayed up, Sunday school teacher? Hey, do the young people in your Sunday school class, are they having fun or is it dull and boring? Do you visit your Sunday school class? Hey, if someday a student in your class, whether it's adult class or it's a children's class, let me ask you this. Is there anybody in that class, if it's an adult class, I could pull out of that class today, I could say, I want you to be a Sunday school teacher tomorrow, and they would say, I have watched everything my teacher does, and I can be a success because I watched how he became a success. I will reproduce what I've watched him do. Because you are reproducing after your kind. When I was at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, I had a married couples class. I was constantly teaching dozens of people how to do what I did. And by the way, I think when I left there, my adult Sunday school class, they took about 20 couples out of it immediately and said, go start Sunday school classes. We know you know what you're doing. And that's the way it ought to be. Hey, that little third grade girl, will I be able to in, 6 or 7, 8 years, will I be able to say, I want you to teach a third grade girl's class because I know you learned how, you've seen it happen, you watched the visitation, you watched the love and the prayer and the fun in class and the activities. You know how. Look, teacher, you are reproducing after your kind. Hey, bus captain. We're not just trying to gather a bunch of people so we can say, well, we had 1,000 in Sunday school. Phooey on that. We're here teaching people how to live. We're here changing lives. And every bus captain here is training future bus captains. Your kids, you go pick them up on Sunday morning and you don't have a program, they don't sing on the bus, they don't play games, they're just left to run wild. You're not training a good bus captain for me. You say, oh, those kids, they're just bus kids. There's no such thing as just a bus kid. They're just as important as your children. They're somebody's child, and that's a soul for which Jesus Christ died, and you just don't know. Hey, we've got a bus captain today that used to be a snotty-nosed bus kid. Thank God for it. Somebody must have taught that bus kid when they were small how to do it. Not by sitting down and giving them a 10-point outline, but by making it exciting and having a program. They didn't even realize. Mike Bajet didn't even realize he was preparing a future bus captain, but he was, because he was right. Right kind of bus captain. We got a bunch of teenagers that work on our bus routes. I wonder if from the bus captains they're learning success on a bus route. Hey, bus worker, you're reproducing after your kind. Do you go and serve the captain? Not long ago, I was talking to someone at a Bible college, and this is what they said to me. They said, well, we've got this one college worker, but she's just like having a wild, rebellious teenager on the route. She's supposed to be a Bible college student. Always causing trouble. Always turning her nose up. Never participating. Wait a minute. A Bible college worker that's supposed to be helping on the route ends up being like a rebellious teenager they're picking up to ride to church. Something wrong there. Somebody has lost track of their influence. You're reproducing after your kind, bus worker. Do you sing and participate? Do you have fun with the kids? Are you learning their name? Hey, what are you doing? You're training somebody to be a bus worker just like you. We reproduce after our kind as a church member. As a dad, we're going to reproduce after our kind. As a mom, we can reproduce after our kind. Hey, I thank God that there is victory. There are some people in here that said, you know, I wasn't raised to do much at all. I wasn't raised to be a good wife. I wasn't raised to be a good husband. I wasn't raised to do those things. Thank God some of you have risen above your rearing and you went out and you became victorious and you studied and you worked at it. But let me tell you something. All of us deserve the right to be trained by the rest of us. Hey, deacon, you're reproducing after your kind. Faithful, loyal, soul winner, involved in the program. You're training some future deacon for me. You deacon, you better stop and realize something. There's some little boy that looked at you and he knows that you serve on our deacon board and he says, I want to be a deacon someday. And by the way, that is a lofty position according to the Bible. And it doesn't mean it's lofty because it holds some superior power in the church. It is that God saw your heart was a servant's heart and you wanted to serve God and serve the church. And some little boy's looking at you and saying, I want to be a deacon someday. What kind of deacon are you training for me? Hey, greeters, you're reproducing after your kind. We have greeters that stand at this door and the center, this door here, the big center doors, and down here on the south end, and we've actually got people that work in the parking lot. You know, somebody's watching you. You greeters, somebody's watching you. You ever looked around and watched the kids standing in the hallways just watching them greeters shake hands and how you doing this morning? I'm glad to see you. I watch them. One of our boys, I'm going to guess he's about a second or third grader. One of our boys had been watching Brother Butch Berman be a greeter. Told his dad, I want to be a greeter when I grow up. They started training him. I'm so glad. Learned how to stick his hand out there and shake a hand and to be happy. Learn how to be friendly and be kind. Wow. What are you doing? Hey, you're not just greeting people. You're training my future greeters. I want to be able to go to somebody in this church and say, I'd like for you to be a greeter, and then say, you know what? I'd like to do that. Every Sunday morning, I see their happy face, and I see how they greet, and I see how they smile, and I see how they have a good time. I see they don't stand and talk to each other so much they ignore the people coming in. I see they want to help. I see they want to serve. I want to be that. I want to be that. You're not just greeting. You're reproducing after your kind. After your kind, greeter, on time, happy, after your kind. We have a nursery directors and our nursery workers. You know something? Those of you that direct our nurseries, you're not just directing the nursery, you're training somebody. Is somebody learning how to direct a nursery by watching you? Watching your people skills? Watching you care? Watching you organize? Watching you be patient? Hey, Every nursery worker, let me ask you a question. Those little girls that you're taking care of in that nursery, and you'll find this out about me, I don't care if they're 6 days, 6 months, or 2 years old, they're going to be treated with dignity, and it's going to be a spiritual program. It's not a little cage where you throw them in there and let them run for an hour. It is important that those boys and girls are taught about Jesus, it's kept organized, and it's done in a first-class way. Let me ask you, ladies that work the nurseries, are you training me future nursery workers with those little 18-month-year-old girls? Are you sticking with the program? Are you following the schedule? Are you making sure those diapers are changed like they're supposed to be? I don't want any baby ever going back to mama with a wet diaper. I want mama to know that baby's been cared for. I don't want a smile on your face, and I want you to enjoy and sing songs and play games and make, and when they grow up, I want them to look back and say, boy, hey, it's been a long time ago, but I'd like to be a nursery worker someday and make an impact and change somebody's life. You're not just you're not an animal trainer. Those are little boys and little girls that have lives and have hearts and have needs, and I want it done right. After your kind. After your kind, nursery worker. Are the little boys and girls going to think the nursery is someplace where two workers go to gossip? After your kind. Hey, those of you that help take care of the grounds here, and thank God for you, you're reproducing after your kind. Somebody's watching you. Somebody new that just joined the church, and we have total voluntary grounds workers. You know what? There's somebody that is new in the church, and they want to get involved in helping us take care of the grounds. And I think the things of God ought to be done right. Let me ask you a question, you, those of you that help mow the yard and cut the weeds down out here. If everybody took care of their section of the yard out here like you take care of yours, what would our yard look like? Oh, it'll be mowed every other time it's supposed to be. It may get trimmed and it may not. I may show up when I'm supposed to or I may not. Well, you might want to stop and realize you're reproducing after your kind. Somebody's watching you. Are you taking shortcuts and not mowing what you're supposed to mow? You say, so what's the big deal? I'm just trying to help you to realize you're making an impact on somebody. Oh, the influence that we have. Those of you that are assistant Sunday school teachers, you're training me some assistant Sunday school teachers. You never show up for the teacher 6:15 meeting on Wednesday night. Do you show up at the very last moment? You know, your teacher's there 15, 20 minutes before class setting up. The assistant teacher walks in just like the kids. You know, kids get here in time to get to Sunday school a few minutes early. You're an assistant teacher, so you show up a few minutes early. The teacher picks up after you instead of you picking up after the kids. You stand off in the corner, won't get involved, won't help. Don't ask the teacher how you could serve. Now, let me ask you a question. What kind of assistant teachers are you training for me? Because whether you like it or not, somebody's watching you and they're figuring the way you do it is how it ought to be done. So it'd be a good idea if you're not doing it the way it ought to be done that you figure out how it ought to be done so it can be done right so the people that follow after you will follow after you with some success and with a smile on their face and say, I want to be that. Hey, listen, anybody that will take the job that they do in the church and make it fun and exciting and do it right, you'll have people saying, I want to be that. I want to do that. I've never, Brother Butch, I've never heard of young people that are going around the church saying, I want to be a greeter, but I know of kids that have said they want to be a greeter. Greeter because of the way you greet. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Somebody that takes their job and their influence so seriously that others are walking around saying, I want to be that someday. I want to be like that someday. I want to do that someday. Oh, that sounds so exciting. Who wants to be like you? Who? Who wants to do what you do in the church because it's so exciting? So, well, Bones, I don't do anything. We got a lot of those that you've developed for us. I just pop in every once in a while. Yep. We got more of those being trained across the world than we have those that serve God. You don't serve God by just coming to church. Hey, Grandma and Grandpa, guess what? You're training future grandparents. Grandpa, you realize that? You're training. Where in the world are we going to learn to be grandparents? Unless our grandparents teach us how to be grandparents. Well, you let those grandkids and let your kids see that Bible out on your lap from time to time. And let them watch you pray. Let them say, hey, show up at church. Live for God in your senior years. You may not be able to give of yourself like you used to, but you can give something or you wouldn't still be alive. Get involved. Get in our senior classes and get involved. Do what you can. Let those kids see that, hey, you're going to stick with God all the way to the end. You're teaching your kids how to be grandparents by the way you handle their kids. Godly, separated, dedicated, loyal, how will it be? Hey, usher. You say, what's my job, Brother Owens? It is your job, of course, you help in the seating of people. Of course, you help take the offering. But I will guarantee you, there are little boys looking up saying, I want to be an usher someday. I want to be an usher someday. I want to be like that. I want to do that someday. You ushers, be a good greeter. You ushers, be in your place. Make it so that little boy that sits in your section says, he's always here. He's just always in his place. He's always doing his ushering. Hey, look at how observant he is, and he finds those seats, and look at how kind he is, and look at how he takes care of and helps solve the problems. I want to be like that someday.
Amen.
He said, well, all I do is just take the offering. I'd like you to train me some ushers. And whether you like it or not, you are. You are. Somebody is determining what an usher is supposed to be like by watching you. Somebody is deciding what a greeter is to be like by watching you. Somebody is deciding what a Sunday school teacher is like by watching you. Somebody is deciding what a church member is supposed to be by watching you. Hey, employee. You know, you're teaching someone. You're the kind of employee that's always avoiding work. Somebody else at work is going to avoid work. Get it? They call it. You see, you get up in the morning and you tell the kids, I'm going to work. Work. You know, when you get a job, you're supposed to work. And when people that are supposed to work avoid work, you're training someone to be a lazy bum, and there's nothing that will destroy the economy in America more than a bunch of lazy rascals that want to get paid, but they don't want to work.
Yes.
And I'm watching it happen. We'll borrow, take all the money you want. Well, I got news for you. You're going to have to work it off someday, and some of you are not going to like it a lick. Or you're going to lose it. But you got to work. You're training someone to work. Hey, is there anybody where you work that would say, I've watched that lady right there work, and boy, does she get with it. I've watched that man right there work. Hey, there's a man that I worked with for a little while, and I want to thank God for a guy by the name of David Ely. Wow. I've never seen a man work like that before. I don't care what we were doing. He was hustling. I don't care what we were doing. He was sweating. I don't care what we were doing. That man applied himself. And at the end of the day, nobody else liked him much, but he liked himself. And the boss liked him. You're teaching somebody to be a lazy bum, or you're teaching somebody to work. Let the people around you be influenced. Let them look at you and say, I never seen a man like that. Boy, he works. Do some of you, we don't have many, but some of you feminazis. Do you go to work and sweat? Some of you boys that wiggle when you walk. Get you out there baling hay about 10, 12 hours a day. Hey, anybody learn to work from you? You kids? And in the ministry, you're to work. Boy, I hate, there's a portion of the ministry that has this reputation. You just sit around and do nothing all day. I hate that. We're going to get up early. We're going to work hard. We're going to work long. Why? It's right. Hey, are you a burden person? Let me ask you a question. How are you training other people to bear their burdens? You got a heartache? Okay. Do you bear that heartache properly? Are you bitter with God? Now, is that the way to train those watching you with your heartache? Because you're reproducing after your kind. Somebody that's going to have the same heartache you have is going to act the same way you do about it. We say God's good, and what does the congregation say? All the time. Really? You might want to tell your face. You might want to tell your spirit. Is somebody going to be sour because you're sour? Somebody going to turn their nose up because you turn your nose up? God brought a burden in your life, and you know what? You may be missing the total purpose of that burden. He might have brought that burden so that you could teach somebody else how to properly carry a burden, but you're busy destroying the way they'll carry their burden instead of making it so they learn how to carry a burden with a decent spirit and a decent attitude. You say, you mean I got to like it? No, but you ought to believe God's good, and you ought to promote it. Do you know, I believe this. I believe there are people that virtually have ministry where they suffer. And the whole purpose was, while they suffer, they're to be teaching others to suffer properly. How are you doing with your ministry? This is not a lack of compassion. This is a reminder that you have influence. After your kind. After after your kind. We're all reproducing after our kind. Hey, soul winners, you're reproducing after your kind. Those of you that listen to sermons, as you sit in here, you know what? You're reproducing after your kind. If you sit there and play and talk and fiddle with the songbook and write notes and play with your gum and do this and do that and play with the offering envelope, somebody behind you is learning exactly what you are, and they will take your place someday. They'll fiddle and miss most of the sermon because all they do is play. Because you're reproducing after your kind. But if you have your mind fixed on what's going on here, hey, even if somebody gets up and shifts and moves out, you're smart enough to know, you say, you know what, I got to keep my eyes on what's going on up there. I'm going to keep my eyes on the preacher. I'm going to keep my eyes open. You're training someone to say, you know what you do when the preacher's preaching? You just pay attention. You affix your eyes on him and you don't play and you don't eat. Hey, if you've got a piece of candy in your mouth, it's one thing, but it doesn't have to be in your mouth, across your nose, over your ears, around your neck, and back in your mouth. You keep it in there and you pay attention. Because you're reproducing after your kind. You say, Brother Owens, it seems as if when you preach to people, pay very good attention. It might be a little bit of reaping. Because I'll promise you this, I set up and pay attention when preaching's going on. I've been doing it a long time. Even if it's the most boring preaching I ever heard, I said, it's still the Word of God. There's something there for me, and I'm going to pay attention. I don't want to hinder anybody behind me. I want to teach people how to pay attention during church. Why? I'm reproducing after my kind. You musicians, you're reproducing after your kind. You either smile in the choir or you frown. You sing out or you don't sing. You practice or you don't. You go out winning others to the Christ that you say that you love, that you sing about, or you don't. You're reproducing after your kind. You Martinsburg Christian Academy students, you're going to reproduce after your kind. Somebody's going to be a rule follower and somebody's going to be a rule breaker because somebody reproduced after their kind. Do you know that pastors reproduce after their kind? Speaking of Martinsburg Christian Academy, you hear about the teacher that was teaching? She's teaching English. And she said, wrote it on the board, I am pretty. She asked the question, class, what tense is that? I am pretty. The little boy raised his hand. He said, obviously past tense. Pastors reproduce after their kind. Assistant pastors reproduce after their kind. I hope that I have some young men and teenagers that look at some of the assistant pastors and say, I want to be like that. But we're all training somebody. There's somebody sitting out there saying, I'd like to pastor a church like Jeff Owens pastors a church. And I take that as a big, big responsibility. A very big responsibility. People are going to become like us whether we like it or not. So I better tell you something you better figure out. You're becoming like Jesus. Because somebody is going to become like you. But if you have become like him and they become like you, we've arrived at the final destination, and that's to be like Jesus. That ought to be our goal. I was thinking about, I have people ask me, as you know, that when I came here, Dr. Smith stayed here. And usually that's a bad idea because most of the time, it doesn't work out for a new pastor to come in, the previous pastor to stay. I am asked this question constantly across the country. What are you doing? How do you handle it? You know why? They want to do it like I've done it. And I'll guarantee you, they ask Dr. Smith, what are you doing? How do you handle it? Why? They want to do it like he did it. Why? Because we have such an excellent relationship. And we're doing what everyone says will not work and does not work, and everybody wants to learn how to do it. And somebody's learning how to do it by watching you. You know something? If you're a lost person, somebody will probably stay lost with you. You've never been saved. You never trusted Christ. You're not born again. If you die today, you go to hell. And somebody else will go to hell with you. You say, why? You're going to reproduce after your kind. Hey, saved first. If you get saved, let me tell you something. I've watched it happen over and over again. I've watched someone that's lost that needs to get saved stay in their seat, and a person right beside them that's lost stay right beside them. And then I've watched somebody that needs to get saved walk an aisle, and as they're walking the aisle, somebody was sitting right beside them walk the aisle too and get saved. You ever seen it? Reproducing after our kind. People die and go to hell because we die and go to hell. People get saved and go to heaven because they say, well, that's what they did. I know we're not to follow man, but we're pretty sad creatures, aren't we? That's right. Because we do. We're to be ambassadors. We're to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. So may I recommend to this whole congregation that you face it all the way back in the book of Genesis. The Bible said we would reproduce after our kind. Somebody's going to develop our positives. Somebody's going to develop our negatives. If you're here and you're not saved, I believe somebody will get saved because you get saved. It may be today, it may be 2 weeks from now, it may be 2 years from now. I also believe if you need to be born again and you reject Christ, somewhere in the future we'll find out somebody died and went to hell because you died and went to hell. After your kind. What an awesome responsibility. You say, well, Brother Owens, my dad was a dirt ball. You can rise above. Oh, yeah. Through Jesus Christ, there's victory. But let me tell you something. Each of us had better take the responsibility of what's coming after us. I can't change who's gone before. I can only change one person. That's me. And you can change you with the help of your Savior. And I would recommend you just suck it up a little bit and face the responsibility of being one of God's children and that there are people watching you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.